Always know when people talk about explosion, there's always three types of explosion. Some said TNT is the best, some said dynamite is the best, but I've always been told that C3 was the greatest of all type of explosion. So at this time, we would like to present to you our beloved leading teacher, Chief Imam of the World Community of Al-Islam here in the West, the Honorable W.D. Muhammad.
Takbir!
We thank you. I bear witness openly that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. There is nothing like unto him. And I bear witness openly that Muhammad is his slave servant and his messenger. Distinguished guests, our Imam of Cleveland, Imam Klein Rahman, all of our brothers and sisters, friends, I give you the greetings of peace, the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. First, I'd like to thank Imam Klein Rahman and the Cleveland Masjid Mosque for this invitation, and thank this audience for respecting us to come out and be in attendance. I would like to thank the mayor, Mayor Perk and the city for the high respect that they have given to us. Our message to you, that is to the Bilalian people and to all the world, if they will listen, is the old message. It's not a new message. I haven't discovered anything new. I have discovered things that are old, and I have faith in those things because they have stood up down through the ages. And that is the truth that was revealed by Almighty God to his prophets. If you will excuse me, I have to go in my pockets here for a couple of notes. It's a beautiful day here in Cleveland. I hope we get out of here early enough to drive around, walk around, see, enjoy the sunshine and the good weather here in Cleveland. But I think for right now, we're in a real good place. And I doubt if any of us would want to go out right now if we knew what was about to happen here. I would like to first read from the Quran. The Quran is the Muslim holy book, sacred book. And in the whole Quran, in the Quran, God says, Allah says, that this book, Revelation, contains the books that was revealed before. And these books have been revealed in their original form as guidance for the people. These are books that have been revealed before and made right by the guidance of God. The Quran also contains further guidance that was given to Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, about 1400 years ago, as guidance to complete the guidance that God had sent to his prophets down through the ages. So the Quran is not a new book. The Quran, in the Quran, God says, this is no newfangled message. This is no newly put together or written message. This is an old message. But it has been revealed in its pure form, and it has been completed for all humanity. I would like to read now the first chapter of the Quran, which is a prayer. It says, with the name Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver of all the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of requital. You alone do we worship, you alone do we beg for help. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom you bestow your grace. Those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Ameen. If one listens to this first chapter, opening chapter of the Quran, understanding it to be the formal prayer, I would say the prayer for all occasions of the Muslims. Being Christian, you cannot help but hear the ring of the Lord's Prayer in this prayer. The Christians were taught to pray, O God, give us this day our daily bread. And they were taught to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. There is nothing in the Lord's Prayer and in the Fatiha, the opening of the Quran, that would make us feel that the one who's praying has any unclean or unacceptable motive. It is a beautiful prayer, both of them. The spirit is clean, clean spirit. The Muslims are not taught to pray that evil come upon those that they are competing with. We are not to pray for political dominance in the world or for material dominance in the world. We are to pray for goodness from God. We are to pray for righteousness from God. The Muslim wants righteousness on earth. The Muslim wants compassion in the hearts of people on this earth. The Muslim wants the light of righteousness to shine and the light of good sense, common sense, the light of intelligence to shine. This is the light that the Muslim wants to shine and dominate the world. The Muslim is not trying to get himself in any political disposition of superiority over any people. Not the true Muslim. And the Muslim is not trying to collect the wealth and separate himself from some other people in some kind of selfish or wicked competition. God says to the Muslim in the Quran, compete with each other. He says, go as though in a race. So certainly we compete. But look how God has set the spirit of our competition and given guidelines for this competition. To protect us from falling into wickedness. Almighty God says, race toward all that is good. And there are many things in this world that are not good. So the Muslim is not a competitor who is competing with others to gain things that are not good in the eyes of Almighty God. In the beginning, Almighty God classified that is right and that is wrong. That is right is submissive to his will, obedient to his will. That is wrong is that resists the will of Almighty God. If people resist righteousness, if they hate righteousness, then they are put into a classification called the wicked. But if they love righteousness and don't resist righteousness, or even if they don't love righteousness, if they respect righteousness to the extent that they don't resist righteousness when they are confronted with it, then they are in the classification of the good people. You see? And it is only those people who are so wicked, who have invested so much in crime, in lies, that they feel they have a kingdom to protect. It is only those people who fall out of the classification of the God-fearing. As long as we have respect for righteousness, though we be committing sin, we are not put in the classification of those people who are the enemies of Almighty God. Now, it was Almighty God who established these two classifications. And he said that only one is a real classification. The other is false, artificial. Why? Because what they establish themselves upon is unreal. Unrighteousness is unreal. Lies are unreal. Anything that can't find its origin in truth and reality is a falsehood and an artificiality. It's not real. The lies we tell are made of bits of truth, reformed to present a lie. We can't even lie unless we rob from the truth. So if I have to rob from the truth to tell a lie, that should tell lying me that my lies have no base in reality. All the righteous people down through the ages, they longed for and prayed for the day when the world will be so filled with the manifestations of truth that there won't be any room for the devil, for the liars, for the wicked people to hide. This was the prayer of the people down through the ages, that God will one day establish his truth, spread it so far and so wide and so thick that there just won't be any room, no cover for wicked people. Well, I firmly believe so much so that I step out of my doors fearing nothing. I firmly believe I firmly believe that this most troubled time that we live in is the most glorious time that this world has ever seen. What seems to us a world lost is actually a world reborn. You know, when you look at a store and you see it all puffed up there and filled with puff, oh, look at that nasty soul. Bad shape. Man's in bad shape. But those who know about that particular kind of sore, they say, oh man, you're going to be healed pretty soon. They realize that the sore has reached its terminal point. It can't go any further in that direction. The healing is at hand, is that right? Well, that's what we have lived to see. We have lived to see the healing of the world. Certainly there's a big ball and there's puff filling that big ball. But don't let that depress you. All praise is due to Allah. Victory is here for all of us. The Holy Quran says that God speaks in the plural. He says, we shall show them what it is that they have done. But all of these things are shown to us. Those that have no understanding of God's great plan may think that, oh, it's hopeless. Look at all this filth out here. All of the crime out here. Don't look at the outer manifestations. Look at the scheme. Look at the history. And look at the inner manifestation. Certainly, I see people doing things that they never would do. Years ago, I see parents abandoning their duty to raise their children properly. I see children with no respect for father and mother. I see people with no faith in leadership and no faith in community life. And I see government leaders with no faith in the power to rule in their offices. But this doesn't sadden me. I'm happy as I can be. I thank Almighty God that I was born in this day and time. I don't believe there ever was a human being born at any other time put in a more healthier situation than I'm in right now. Certainly it looks sick. It looks sick, but just like that old soft old puff, man, I'm telling you, it's healthy. The fever is gone. Pain's gone. It ain't nothing but something that looks ugly. If we can read the message, we'll see beauty, and with all the pain and fever gone, we should have a jubilation. You know, inside our own community, my people confuse me. They say, I wish I had the good old days. I can't understand what's going on. I said, what are they talking about? The good old days.
I don't know of any days that can come near matching these good new days. I don't have to have a brute force and a police club to get people to come and listen to the word of God. They come walking willingly on their own initiative. This is beautiful. I don't see people who are spending all that time talking about the devil, pork.
Don't eat that swine. You got to know the devil, the history of the devil.
You used to spend so much time on the history of the devil that we didn't have any time to learn about the history of the righteous. Yes. Put more importance on the eating of unclean flesh than on the eating of unclean spirits. Man condemning the unclean flesh, but inside was a piggish spirit. First get the pig out of you. And once you get that kind of strength, the pig won't be any problem. Everything was just a weight on us. The pig. The white man is the devil. Every one of them. Old, gray, young, freshborn, all of them are devils. That was beautiful, it seemed, for a time. All of a sudden, we looked in the community and we discovered the place was half filled with devils and there weren't any white people in the place. So what happened here? Say, good God Almighty, we better open these doors to everybody. Now, I don't know. Maybe you've been away from me and you don't know me anymore. But I haven't been away from you. I know all of you. And I hear people whispering, Jesus taking everything away from us that we used to have. Well, I see sisters in here, they have their hair covered. They have nice dresses on like they used to wear. They look like the same people to me. They just look like better people. They look like more natural people. The sisters now, they look natural. They look, I'm telling you, they look like they're sitting in the ranks of the righteous in the heaven, in the paradise. He's taking our whole wheat bread from us. Well, I had whole wheat toast this morning. I didn't have to go to your place to get it. I had it at the airport. I ordered a whole wheat toast. Oh, you see there? He's eating three meals a day. He ate breakfast. He's eating three meals a day. I have never stopped eating one meal a day. I had toast this morning. I would like to have had something for noon too, you know, just a little bit. I'm not a very big eater. I don't get rid of that much energy. Not physical energy anyway. And I hope to have dinner this evening too. And before I go to bed, I might have a little scoop of ice cream or something. You know, But Allah is my witness, I eat one meal a day.
My meal is righteousness, and that's one meal. And I eat it from one God, not three. One. I eat one meal a day. Now, I think it's a great blessing to us that we have come into the understanding of things that was given to us symbolically. The symbolism is not as strong as the real meaning. The symbolism is there to preserve the real meaning. That's all it's there for. Once you discover the real meaning, you don't need the symbolism anymore. You go right to the real meaning. A Muslim is one who does not go to the extreme, who does not give himself to those things that God has prohibited. He lives a righteous life. He avoids the extreme. He does things in moderation under the law of God. This is a Muslim. So I don't have to eat one meal a day. That's not moderation. That's extremism. If I eat one meal a day and all the day I'm hungry, you come up to me and say, hey, brother, what's happening, brother? Oh, man, don't bother me. Hey, brother, explain this to me. You so hungry, you so bothered by hunger pains that you want to tell the man to get the hell out of your face. We couldn't even be happy with each other eating one meal a day. It was good exercise. Good exercise. Because you had to force yourself to be right. It was a great burden trying to be right. Eat one meal a day. Most of you didn't do it. So you're carrying the guilt on you. I broke it. I'm gonna get this yet. Sister walk in and catch it. I knew you wasn't a good Muslim. It ain't time to eat. Okay. Don't want the good old days. Be thankful to Allah that we survived the good old days. So we could come into the good new days. That's the great lesson. The good old days was just what is this electric thing, the Prada, that they use on the cattle, you know, they touch it, make it go, you know? A Prada. What do they call that thing? No, not the branding iron. The electric thing, you know, when the cattle won't go, they give it a little touch. You don't have to fire the bullet, you know, you just give them a little touch there. Something to shock you. Something to give you a little prick. You know, a little pinch, you know? Well, the first teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, those teachings were pinches-like. Pinches. Our sensitivity was all in the physical. So he pinched the skin, you know? Couldn't pinch the brains because they weren't working right. So he pinched the skin. Move, cattle. Move, cattle. Go in the corral. Eat this hay, you know? Eat this grass, you know? Pinch, you know? Drink out of this straw. All right. But now, you don't have to have that kind of direction or that kind of stimulus. We have lived to see many things happen in this world that have made it possible for us to educate our people properly. We have lived to see Bilalian people of Africa and the world come into a new sense of dignity and get respect from nations around the world. We have lived to see Caucasian people in America not only respect the dignity of Bilalian people, but enforce the law so that the dignity of Bilalian people will not be taken away
in America
by other people. We have lived to see that. We have lived to see the President of the United States. We have lived to see governors and mayors put themselves in positions to be killed by narrow-minded, crazy racists to protect the God-given rights and the American-given rights of the Bilalian people. And all of this to serve to make us confident, to encourage us and make us feel confident. And we don't have to hide under symbolism. We don't have to escape this world to save ourselves. We can come out on Broad Street at noonday and discuss the problem and make some progress. We don't have to have boogeymen anymore. We can deal with plain, simple language. You know, when a people are deprived of the good uses of their senses, though they be in a highly advanced nation or civilization, they are primitive by description. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was wise enough to identify the primitive mentality of the so-called Negro. And he knew that you can't reach these people with straightforward common sense. You have to spook them up. You have to use boogeymen, witch doctor medicine, magic feather dusters and whatnot. I don't know what they call those things. They shake the witch doctor, he shake, you know. And the proof that you were of that kind of mentality is still with us. I put on a beard. A man that won't follow me around the corner put on a beard. I put on a round collar shirt. Man that haven't followed me halfway down the road, he'll put on a round collar shirt. If I put on earrings, big earrings in my ear, one in my nose, stick some through my lips, stick some needles through my hands, walk down the street barefooted, I guarantee you, you that's half following me will follow me all the way in that kind of symbolism. It's because you haven't yet realized that slavery is gone. The Emancipation Proclamation has been read and enforced. You still think you're a slave. Oh, I don't have no right to act like other people. I can't identify with America. Americans dress up like this, they eat like that, talk like that. I don't belong here. So you don't know any other language but English. So you invent yourself an artificial language that nobody can talk but you. And you feel good. You feel comfortable. I got my own language. You will even dress yourself so you look different than anybody else. I got my own dress. You know, it actually almost killed some of these people when I told them that the uniform doesn't make it. It's uniformity of mind and spirit that makes it. When I told these people that, it almost killed some of them. Because they had withdrawn so far back up into their private holes that it was terrifying to think about coming out in the sun, in the light of day. I can't make it. I'll kill him before he take my headpiece off. Give me my FOI suit or I'll kill somebody. You can have the suit. I got the fruit. And I'd like to see anybody challenge me and prove that the fruit I have is not the fruit of Islam. You wore the dress that only said fruit of Islam. But I got the fruit, man. He doesn't like black anymore. Open the doors, tell the white people to come in. Don't even want to call us black, call us Belalians. Well, I still call you black too. But I see one that is black, and I have a need to refer to his skin color, I call him black. That's what he is. You can call me black too if you want to. But I think you have to look very close on me to find black. You can find it, but you have to look close. I got some black on me, I guarantee you that. I saw it this morning when I took my shower. But you hurt because I don't call you black. Black divides the people. That's not black, but a mixture of black, brown, yellow, red, and some of you even almost white. It divides you. You say you're black? I come up with more black than you? You should step behind me. If black is supreme, right. If black is superior, I come up with more black on my skin than yours. And if my hair is twisted a little more tighter than yours, I think you ought to get behind me. Right. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the situation in the world community of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't give any special favors to anybody because they were black. Because their hair was a little tighter than the others. He himself was brown, and his hair was medium nat. And you never said, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if black is supreme, then how come Allah chose you and didn't choose me? I'm blacker and more original looking. You look more Caucasian. We didn't argue about those things then. We accepted. But when you ask you to change, then you want to make everything literal. Nothing was symbolic. He meant everything he said. When he said white people are devils, he meant all white people are devils. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me, I don't know where you were, and a whole lot of people I know, I don't know where you were, that the wife, pardon me, the mother of Master Farad was a white woman. And if anybody in his presence called her a devil, they were in trouble. They were on the way out of the community, out of the Nation of Islam, as it was called then, you see. And you know, in the last years of his mission, he said Muhammad, the white man. Said Prophet Muhammad was a white man. Now, if you want to say that Lord Honor Elijah Muhammad was telling us, don't follow Prophet Muhammad. He's a devil. God forbid. Let's use what he said about the mother of the man that some of you want to keep following, Master Father Muhammad. He said his mother was a Caucasian, a white woman. Was he telling us that the mother was a devil? No. Almighty God says that, in the words of the scripture, I will publish my name myself. That has far-reaching meaning. God means that you may take up the work, but I watch over my work. Marcus Garvey came. He tried calling the people to blackness and to religion. One God, one destiny, one color, one Africa. Is that right? Drew Ali, Noble Drew Ali, another Bilalian brother, he came up and he preached the glory of the Moors. And he taught American so-called Negroes, Bilalian people, that we were all Asians. Asians. He said we were Asiatics. Master Farrar came behind him and Marcus Garvey. And he taught blackness too, black supremacy. And he taught, as Noble Drew Ali taught, that we were Asiatics. How many were here from the old days? How many is here from the 50s and 40s? Stand. I want to see those who were here in the 50s and 40s. All right. These people, all right, you may be seated now. You see, there's a number of people still here from the 50s and 40s. These people know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that that we were Asiatics. Asiatics. So when the 1960 mentality came in, wanting to identify with the Afro and everything, they met with criticism from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, you won't have any Afro in here. The Afro wasn't allowed. Why? Because he didn't like Afro look or the African people? No. It was because he saw that his plan for the future of his people was being threatened by a new kind of mentality. Marcus Garvey said, back to Africa. Noble Drew Ali had said Asia. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taught by Master Farrar to say Asiatic. Because Africa was a problem. Africa had been established in our minds as a place that was savage, undeveloped, backwards. So if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach our people to be Africans, African American, he knows he's going to have a problem from a primitive mentality. They're not going to start there and move up. They're going to grab the concrete thing, the physical thing. Wear the Afro. Some will wear an earring. Some will wear a bone. Sandals. I don't know what they call that stuff. I know we used to get beans about 100 pounds. Thought they'd last longer. Bad times. Bean sack rolls, you know. I don't know what they call that stuff. Sack rolls. Gunny sack rolls. Do you know I saw a brother in Chicago in the dead winter? I think it was just about 5 above zero. some desert robes on, sandals, open sandals, feet out in all that snow and cold ice. And he was just as happy as he could be. He said, when I met him, he said, Assalamu alaikum, brother. I said, Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. He said, are you going with us? On the, I forget what they call it. It wasn't a Hajj, but it was a trip that they make. I forget the name of it. I said, are you with the brothers from? He said, Alhamdulillah. I said, do you know the brother Sultan of the Tabligh? He said, Naam, Alhamdulillah. Naam, Alhamdulillah. I wanted to ask him, have you forgot how to speak English? Forgot how to speak English and wearing sandals, wearing desert clothes in Chicago in the dead winter. So that's what happens when we give people physical things before we give them some sense. You first have to reconstruct the mind before you put the burden of symbolism on the people. All praise is due to Allah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a strong man. He knew how to enforce his will. He made you cut your hair short, wear the suit that he designed, and a bow tie, made you walk and talk like he wanted you to walk and talk. He enforced his will and his mind in the lives of every one of his people to such an extent that no individual had the right even to think for themselves. What I mean by that, you wouldn't even allow yourself the right to think for yourself. I'm talking about those that were really obedient. And I was one of them. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had to insist upon this degree of discipline because he wasn't constructing minds. He was baiting minds. And he used the term fishing. And he used to say sometimes, say, brother, he said, I'm a fisherman. He said, I take the hook and put the bait on there that I know the fish will bite. Not that he wants that bait. He wants the fish to get on the hook. So he gives the fish the bait. He knew the fish would bite. He said, I heard him say one time, he said, I fish with a long pole. He keep that thing that he's dealing with a distance away from himself. Now, many men, they have to get down into some dirty work. But they don't like to get themselves dirty. If they can do it without getting themselves dirty, they'll use a long pole. You know, they got to dip up something filthy. And if you can, you'll take a long pole with a cup at the end of it. And you take it and dip it up from distance. So you don't get it close to yourself. He got his nerve saying all of Elijah Muhammad's work was dirty. Was white supremacy clean? How can you call black supremacy clean? The white man deserved to be punished. What about the red man? What about the Indian? Was he a party to the crime that you are still holding against America? Black supremacy also punished the Indian. If I am the God, if my form is the best, the Indian is not as good as I am. And you know what you heard.
We didn't forget that piece of business.
That the white man was the end of the grafting process. But between the white man and the original man, the black man, was red, brown, red. Right? Okay. So the thing deteriorated as it went down. So what you say when you hold on to that doctrine, you are saying that all people are inferior to you. You're preaching a racism against the Indian, a racism against the Chinese, a racism against everybody but 100% black person. Don't you know that Elijah Muhammad had more sense in his head to eat that bait? He gave it to people that had to use it, that needed it. He didn't have to eat that bait. I know many of you who couldn't stomach being near to a Caucasian. Something happened to the glands. Water come all up in his glands. If he couldn't say anything, he'd just be all messed up, chemistry messed up. I never seen the Honorable Elijah Muhammad go through such changes. I've seen him sit down at his dining table in the palace and eat and drink with Caucasians. Mr. Irv Kupcinet come to his house, and I saw him sitting there conducting an interview with him in his front room, and they both drinking out of cups, coffee cups, and the Mr. Kupcinet cup had gold around it, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's cup had gold around it. I didn't tell him though, it wasn't time. I said, this is a mighty man. I said, he teaches black supremacy, but he gives a white man a same golden cup that he drinks out of. That was all right. I thought that was all right. Oh, Elijah Muhammad was a wise man. He wasn't a fool. He used the bait of symbolism, but he wasn't a fool. In his last address, he appealed to us. If white people can respect you, respect them. That's what he said. It's impossible for me to respect the white man and call him a devil. That's no respect. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was telling us to remember what he had been telling us, what he had been telling us all along. To do nothing to no one that you wouldn't like to have done to yourself. That's what he used to say every time he finished his speech on a Sunday. He wouldn't conclude that speech until he said, and remember, when you go out of here, do nothing to no one that you wouldn't have done to yourself. Hey, man, we got to help the nation. Let's go out here and rob this white bank, brother. Let's take from this devil and give it to the nation. You wouldn't follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Hey, brother, let's sell some of this dope, brother. Let's sell it to the disbelievers. You wouldn't follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, do nothing to no one that you would not have done to yourself. And he said, respect the laws of the land. He said, respect those in authority over you. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad preached. He preached it weekly and daily. All of a sudden, the crazy-minded people came up with their own ideas of what the Nation of Islam was all about and took us so far away from our original, good, healthy, religious morals and principles that I had no other alternative but to undo the whole thing and do it all over again. And it was in accord with the promise of Imam Elijah Muhammad. He said, I'm not teaching you religion now. But he promised us that one would come in the future. He said, another one will come and teach you the religion. That's what he taught us. Well, Chief, what about the mothership? You haven't realized yet that you own it? I've dropped out all the 1,500 bombing planes. Each one had three bombs equipped with a drill that no stone, no product in the earth could wear out. And every one of my three bombs went into the surface of this materialistic world and didn't stop till it got to the heart of the matter and blew up mountains a mile high. And now the poison gas have seeped all out. And I see the wicked running for cover. And there is no cover. Now, in 1977, I'm cutting the shortage in the gravity, setting the atmosphere afire. The righteous spirit went out as a poison gas in the nose of the wicked. But now the plain truth is coming out of Bible and Holy Quran. And that's a light that affects the sinner, the wicked, as fire on their flesh, burning up the falsehood in the atmosphere of America and the world. What is a shortage? How do you make a shortage? You make a shortage by bringing together things that were separated. See, in the electric line, you have to keep the wires separated. And you got the symbolic dressing over those wires to protect them from touching. But once you take the symbolic dressing off those wires, they're going to touch, they get naked. And they're going to touch somewhere, and there's going to be a light, a spark of light. So we cause a shortage by taking the dark symbolism off the truth. Make the truth naked. So when they touch, we see light. Light sparks up. You see? The wicked world, they design the lie of truth and falsehood. See, they run truth along with falsehood and put both of them under symbolic covering. And they make it so they connect at the point they want truth and falsehood to connect, to produce the artificial light that they want to produce. But thank God, we have discovered the trick. And the whole atmosphere is afire. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Allahu Akbar.
praises be to Allah. Praises be to Allah. Yeah, it's a fire, brother. It's a fire. I'm trying to wait till it cools down a little bit. Brothers and sisters, please don't leave yet. Please don't leave yet. Please be seated for just a minute. We haven't dismissed our meeting yet. We got to dismiss just like we came in. We got to pray. After you heard what you heard today, you ought to want to pray. You got a lot to pray for. Is that right? Got a lot to pray for. And if we can't wake up behind that, if we can't see reality behind that, and start to take on a true and a natural growth behind that, they might as well put you in the physical earth. Because you're deader than dead. We'll be deader than dead if we can't understand that. Plain, simple truth. I don't believe we have any further announcements now. Have we received anything further announcements? Okay, we have one announcement. It's from Mawli Muhammad Masjid number 1. And it presents a mayors and awards presentation. A dinner dance. This will be Saturday, July the 23rd, 1977, from 7 p.m. until 1 a.m. at the Cobo Hall Ballroom, Washington Boulevard. The special guest speaker will be Imam Abdul Halim Farrakhan. Also, we will have, we see we have some other honorees. The wife of our leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Sister Shirley Muhammad, Khalila Ali, the Honorable Coleman Young, Mayor of Detroit, William Hart, and many, many others. So if you will, if you are able to, that'll be July 23rd, 1977, in Detroit at the Cobo Hall Ballroom. Please be patient. We're going to dismiss very soon and let you meditate the rest of the day.
Assalamu alaikum. Would everyone please hold your seats? Chief might be back out just for another short few minutes. He has something special he'd like to talk with you about, so would you please just keep your seat, okay?
I think we can be patient behind that. In fact, before he leaves, would you wait just a minute, Mr. Beasley? I want to let you know this was Mr. Beasley, who is of the cabinet of Mayor Peart. He was with us. He's the director of the Department of Public Service, and he was going to make a presentation to our imam if the mayor did not show up. But praise be to Allah, the mayor himself showed up and wanted to give the honor and the key to the city of Cleveland to the Honorable W.D. Muhammad himself. So we thank Mr. Beasley for coming. And believe me, brothers and sisters, we hear from sources and people all over the world from all walks of life are very aware of the work that is being done by our leader and teacher. Very aware and very much behind him in his words, from sources that we would never suspect. We have to realize that we have with us, in our presence, a blessing from God. And we're not worshiping the individual, we're worshiping God's blessing. We're worshiping God's truth. That's what we give our service to, that's what we give our lives to, God's truth. And we thank Almighty God for blessing him, and as we said before, for him having an open heart that he was willing to share God's blessing with us and to bring us from the things that were causing many, many problems in our lives to a point where we can see with clear vision God's truth, to the point that it improves our condition, betters our condition, and adds more to our lives. So let us be patient for just a few more minutes, will you? Hosea. Hosea. Hosea.
Assalamu alaikum. Dear beloved Muslims, brothers and sisters, I thank you for coming out this afternoon to hear the thoughts that I have expressed here today, and I pray Allah that we all be guided to the right path and be guided more and more in the light of understanding and become stronger and stronger as true Muslims, not in name only, but in mind and in heart and spirit, and that we increase in righteousness, increase ourselves in knowledge, clear knowledge, and spread the light of Quran, of the Quran, the light of the truth of Islam, to each other, to our communities, until this light fills the whole world. I don't know if you realize the great place that you have in the eyes of the whole world right now. I'm meeting heads of government, I'm meeting heads of religious communities that numbers in millions from east and west and many other places, and they are all paying tribute to us, congratulating us, paying tribute to us, and they are asking us to don't forget them. They like what they see among us, and they feel that we are really a source of salvation for all of them in terms of our clean spirit and our strong faith and courage, if not in terms of our knowledge and understanding. And there are many in high places now who are recognizing the knowledge that has come to us. I was told just a week ago, the Imam, how come you don't stand up? And this was by a foreign Muslim, what we call foreign Muslim, Muslim from the East. He says, Imam, how come you don't go and ascend the steps there and preach from the high place? So I explained it to him. He didn't accept it. He came back later on and he said, you should stand there. He said, don't you know 90% of the sheikhs of Al-Azhar don't know what you know? Saying that to brag. I have nothing to brag about. As I told you in my little talk to you today, that I haven't discovered any new things. I've only discovered the old. So I'm not saying that to brag. What I want you to know that you don't have to follow people because they got more beads than you have. You know the beads, the vickery beads, the rosaries, the vickery beads. Because they wear turbans or robes, or because they can speak Arabic and you can't, realize that a light has coming up. And this light is the light that the whole world is admiring and thanking Allah for. You don't see it now, but you'll see it soon. So dear believers, be happy, be thankful. be courageous in the position that I'm standing on. Take the position that I've taken. Walk the walk that I walk. Preach the Islam that I preach. If you pick up anything else, you pick up something inferior. Perhaps you can speak more Arabic, but what is the Arabic without the understanding? So let's be happy and be thankful. And don't go astray from the good things that you've been led to. You were taught to be clean in your mind and in your heart. You were taught to be decent and fair with yourself and others. You were taught not to take up unclean and filthy things. You were taught to dress modestly and to keep your self-respect at home and abroad. Don't fall down now. We've been promised the glory, and now the glory is here. This is the wrong time to start falling backwards. Keep moving forward, and don't grieve and long for bean soup. You can have all the bean soup you want. I have nothing against bean soup. Don't think I have to miss whole wheat bread. I like it too. Brown rice, I like it too. I don't eat pork, never did, because thank Allah, my parents taught me against those things. I don't gamble, I don't drink whiskey, I don't use narcotics, I don't smoke cigarettes. Thank Allah, my parents guided me away from those things. And you have been guided away from those things. So don't fall backwards and claim that you're with something and I have deserted it. Go and ask my friends, have they caught me drinking? Have they caught me committing adultery? Have they caught me committing acts that were condemned by Mahmoud Elijah Muhammad? And my friends and associates will tell you, no. So if God has blessed me to obey the best of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to come into the news and get the respect that we are getting now from Muslims of Saudi Arabia, leaders of Saudi Arabia, leaders and Muslims of the Emirates, of Nigeria, of Sudan, of Pakistan, all over the world, then what should you do but stand up and say, thank God that I am a part of this community. Thank God that our prayers have been answered. We didn't want to be inferior, but we didn't want any false sense of superiority. We wanted our strength to be real. Believe me, our strength is real. And if you think it ain't real, I defy anyone to challenge me. I don't fear anybody. I'm not beneath anybody. You have no reason to fear anybody or to think that you are beneath anybody. And in Islam, the most superior is the closest to Allah in obedience. The one who's closest to Allah in obedience, that is the superior one. So it's our religion, Islam, it has destroyed racism, destroyed class, discrimination, and all the other ugly things that have burdened us. So be thankful that we are the true Muslims, we have the right understanding, and that we have the healthy mind and spirit that is needed to unify our life and also to bring us in unity with the life that we must live as long as we're in America, and that is the American life. Don't want to go to Africa in America. Mahmoud Elijah Muhammad said, we don't have to go to Africa. We can live here. And I'm telling you the same thing. But you can't live here with your mind in Africa.
And you can't live here with your mind in Arabia. Your mind as a Muslim should be on Al-Islam, on the Quran, on the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. And you should revere, you should respect, have a holy and sacred respect for the righteous monuments that are in Mecca and in Medina. But you should not walk in America as an Arab. You should walk in America as an American. You can't divide yourself, throw your body one place and your mind another place. You must live where you are. Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum. Takbir! Takbir!